The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Delighted that you are here this morning where past meets present. Dr. Dennis Powers. You know, there's been so much news the last few weeks here, Doc. We haven't even been going into the history. You know, we've been just talking about the news. And I think this is another one of those days that you need to, that we kind of need to stick with what is. What say you, my friend? You know, welcome back.
You know, my friend, I couldn't agree more because of the fact that this is past and present, and the present is really striking the news and what's going on in this civil war by this administration against the rest of America.
Well, we have President Trump now, first president ever standing trial criminally, right? Isn't this the first time we've had this happen?
Yeah, that's right. He's the first former president to stand trial on criminal charges, and this is as much of a setup when you take a look at how Soros, Biden, and the rest of the folks who are running this country are able to skate with the DA, Alvin Briggs, and what we're seeing is DAs that are trying to make a name for themselves. And so you know that everything else that my friend, that's going on in the cities like New York, well, no wonder they have such crime. The DA is spending all of his time, you know, the lawbreakers get out, and they're just spending their time to bring down Trump. Why? Because of the fact that there is some goodies waiting for them if Biden is reelected, and it's just really unparalleled in America. Oh, no,
in other words, you carry water and you charge the president and you try to make it break the right way, and then and you will be rewarded. In other words, it's just human. It's essentially returning favors for the narrative. So, the president, what crime is Donald Trump being accused of in this Stormy Daniels case here? What is the crime? Because is it illegal to try to pay someone else to not say something or to pay someone that way? Or, I mean, what is the legality here that we're talking about, Doc?
Well, what they're charging him for is that since these payments came from the Trump organization to Cohen, this adult film star, what a great way to go ahead and try to destroy Trump, you know, in terms of New York by the Clintons. But it's for falsifying business records for this quote-unquote hush money.
All right. Now, let me just ask. Now, didn't Cohen already plead guilty for this? Or did he not?
Well, in terms of pleading guilty, they got him for fraudulent use of taxi medallions and other things. The full resources of the FBI and criminal investigators were run and used against Cohen as Trump's attorney. It was unparalleled. And so by going ahead and saying, okay, and you know, actually, I saw this in my practice a few times, you know, where what happens is that if an attorney is present, they'll go ahead and say, well, you know, we can go easy on you if you'll just help us, which is...
Oh, in other words, roll over on your client. Roll over on your client, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's what's going on. And he's been charged with 34 counts, which has to go with the number of different times that apparently payments were coming out. They're going through jury selection, today with 42 questions, quote unquote, from a questionnaire. But, you know, from the details, this whole thing just stinks when you take a look at what really is going on in the real world. And where the FBI, which comes into FISA, is working, although they're not supposed to, and you know that has been. So it's total corruption by this administration.
How can Donald Trump get a fair trial in such a Democrat hotbed as New York City, and how can that just be sort of ignored and not taken into account? Do you know?
He can't, and you know the reason is that. If we wanted to hear the spin of the government, we'll just listen to NBC or CBS or some of these other places or read the Times. You know, when I'm going ahead and shopping, for Judy and I, things that she'll need. on different things, because I'm out there anyway.
Right.
I'll take a look at the New York Times. I'll take a look at the San Francisco Chronicle, and I'll just go ahead and remember my friend as to what is really going on and how it's being spun. So with the media in the pocket of far-left liberals, and it really is, how can there be an unbiased juror in the totality of America, especially given New York City?
Oh, I know. Especially a city that tends to hate the former president, too, or quite often, more often than not, seems to hate the former president. What is the penalty for President Trump were he to, God forbid, be convicted on such charges?
Discretion of the judge, mm-hmm. which should be very interesting. It could be jail time. It could be a combination of different things if he's found guilty. the difference in this as a criminal proceeding is that you need to go ahead and prove this beyond a reasonable doubt versus the way that the civil lawsuits have been brought against this former president by the Venezuelan cohorts, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so in any event, there's going to be a lot of different types of motions and lawsuits that are going on.
If you were a betting man, how long would you say this criminal trial will take?
Boy, that's a tough question to answer because the fact is, just think about how long some of the civil trials have been taken because mm-hmm. of other preliminary motions. But on this one, there are going to be some fast tracking. The whole objective, as you're pointing out, is get Trump and get a verdict before the election.
Hmm.
This is, you know, and for your listeners, take a look in terms of how life will be after the election when it's over in November for your personal investing, for everything in terms of major decisions, because this sweet spot that Biden and Soros are trying to create, well, they won't have to do that in terms of after the election if they win. And so in any event, this, to answer your question, I would say that the warring sides, and it's going to depend on the extent to which they can get the Supreme Court to come in, and the Supreme Court really doesn't want to really get involved in this because they've already had that abortion the way our Department of Justice folks went ahead and allowed far-left demonstrators to beat drums and to demonstrate, quote-unquote, to riot in a couple of cases outside their homes.
Yeah.
This is a civil war.
Dr. Powers with me, where past meets present. Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law. Hey, Doc, hang on just a minute, because a lot of people writing me about the FISA court decision, not the decision of the court itself, but the reauthorizing of it. And I shared with you a statement from Congressman Cliff Bentz, and a lot of people writing in rather disappointed about it. Could you break down kind of what your thoughts are on the Section 702 of FISA when we come back here in just a moment? Can you do that? You good with that?
Sure. I'm happy to do that with you.
All right, Will. And we'll also share Congressman Bentz's statement on voting for that reauthorization, too, coming up.
We've heard it all.
Parking lots need many traffic lights.
A herd of skunks forced me into the ditch.
Oh, stupid car wash pushed my mirror out of position.
Dang hornet was nesting in my headrest.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
We have some real issues here in Southern Oregon, and when it comes to the state senator to represent us, there is only one clear choice, Christine Goodwin. Christine is a strong, vibrant, get-her-done conservative who won't leave Southern Oregon behind against those far-left Portland politicians. Matter of fact, as representative, she has the number one conservative voting record of all time by nationally recognized CPAC in the legislature among senators, representatives, and congressmen serving over 2 years. Christine helped recriminalize hard drugs, strengthen laws for our police, and even worked to help Texas in trying to close the southern border. Hey, Republicans, make sure you vote Christine Goodwin for state senate in the primary. She's a winner, and let's back a winner. This former high school teacher, small business owner, commissioner, and school board chair knows how to get it done on all levels. Sending her to Salem to battle those urban politicians is the best thing we can do. Vote Christine Goodwin for state senate. Paid for by Goodwin for Oregon, PAC ID 21708.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Voting is in progress for Bicoastal Media's Best of Southern Oregon contest presented by Dusty's Transmissions. Go to bestofsouthernoregon.com and vote on over 1,000 businesses that were nominated in nearly 200 categories. You're able to vote for all of your favorites once per day. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com and help the best suppliers of goods and services win the gold and silver medals by voting every day through Wednesday, April 24th at 5 p.m. Good luck to all those nominated from Dusty's Transmissions and Bicoastal Media.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
I'm back with Dr. Powers, retired professor of business law, Southern Oregon University. Hey, Doc, I'm going to read the statement that Congressman Cliff Bentz released after voting to reauthorize the FISA court on Friday, along with many, many Republicans and some Democrats here, too. And just so people understand where we're coming from on this, I was hoping that there would have been a change done. But anyway, this is what Congressman Bentz said. Today, I joined 126 members of my Republican conference in voting for H.R. 7888, the Reforming Intelligence and Securing American Freedom Act. Although not perfect, it is necessary, and it contains 56 Republican changes to the existing FISA law, which provides significant protections against abuse of foreign surveillance processes. I also voted for the Andy Biggs warrant requirement amendment, but unfortunately that amendment failed on a tie vote. Now, my note here, Dr. Powers, is that Speaker Mike Johnson voted no on that. He was the tie vote going no against that. Now, Congressman Bentz continues, on the positive side, two other amendments I voted for did pass and both make the law more protective of American citizens. One of these was Chip Roy's amendment, which forces the FBI to report to Congress on a quarterly basis and which allows certain members of Congress to attend proceedings before FISA courts. Also, the term of the reauthorization contained in the bill has been reduced from 5 years to 2 years, thus providing us with an excellent opportunity to observe how our changes to this law will work and then, if necessary, to further improve this law, hopefully with the help of a Republican president. Had this bill not passed, the probable alternative would have been a Senate bill, which would not have included the Roy Amendment nor the Biggs Warrant Amendment, and very probably having a 5-year and not a 2-year sunset. What are your thoughts on Congressman Bentz's statement on that here, Doctor, and your thoughts overall on the reauthorization of FISA? And the whole goal was to try to get an amendment that would have required a warrant for spying on Americans' communications, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, the most disturbing thing is if you read about, this is Section 702, mm-hmm. okay, of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, otherwise known as FISA. But if you go into how the government says in terms of its websites, this is Biden, basically the IC can't target U.S. persons, regardless of location.
But they do. Exactly.
Right? Exactly. And any person located inside the U.S., BS. Because the issue here has to do with what type of proceeding will you need to do for American citizens living here? And that was what the big fight was. Now, Biden, of course, came down with his minions and was really pumping all Republicans and Democrats to just vote it in a certain way.
Yeah, don't you find it interesting that the moment they're going to reauthorize FISA and he has some questions about it, then all of a sudden, Terror Watch, Terror Watch, Terror Watch, and they're ringing alarm bells, right? Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah, right. Plus the fact that there is a release of information today about large funding of chip factories. For example, a big one making the news today was in East Texas. So what was the trade-off that really came in on this? But the real problem is I can give two things. You know, because if you research this enough, you can find whatever you can, what you really need to make your decisions. First of all, these are secret proceedings. And as a matter of fact, in terms of all of the formal ones, that 34,000 of these FISA applications, 34,000 were approved and only 16 denied. So the FISA applications approved also included President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is on warrantless searches, because of all the loopholes, the FBI was able to go in. The same FBI that was monitoring American citizens at education, Board of Education meetings, that FBI would go in on these secret proceedings and actually using what was, quote, loopholes, which just means that they made an argument that they could do it. And they had hundreds of thousands of warrantless searches made. So what they say and what is happening are really two different things. And as to Cliff Bence's statement, that in terms of what was going on for the rest, for all of us, that's what happened. But what really happens underneath was not disclosed.
When you say what really happens underneath, are you trying to tell me then that the reauthorization was not a wise thing to have done, even though it had these amendments? Or do you disagree that it was right to do so? I just want to understand.
Well, when you come into the 50-plus, quote-unquote, Republican amendments, if you take a look at, in terms of Cliff Bence's statement, that it allows certain members of Congress to attend proceedings before FISA courts. Oh, that's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. Who? I mean, who is? Does that mean the FBI alerts someone who just comes in who is aligned with what the FBI is doing? And how do you check the FBI with the way that they have been operating underneath President, what's his name?
Yeah, okay, I get it. So in other words, this is a fig leaf. I'm hearing, in your opinion, a fig leaf.
Oh, and the other thing is it forces the FBI to report to Congress on a quarterly basis. Oh, right. Will they? Take a look at the way that the far left and the left in charge of our government looks at the law.
Yeah, I was hoping that they were just going to not reauthorize it unless they add the amendment that was desired. That was my whole push.
That was what was coming. And you see, another thing that really I found laughable is a basic thing, is that this was just the House and the Senate has to come in. Before, I think it's April 19th.
Yeah, well, the figuring here, Doc, was that the Senate would not have passed a FISA reauthorization, which actually respected the constitutional rights of Americans. That's the general consensus there, I
that's
think.
That's true, because then what happens, at least this is my kind of anecdotal feeling, was that let's assume that Speaker Mike Johnson, who is really under, again, attack. I wish the Republicans would figure out how to run their House. But in any event, let's assume that what you really feel, which many Americans feel, was enacted. Well, I have and this is anecdotal, there would be more pressure put to change Republican And maybe some Democrats who are all running for re-election.
Well, I could swear that the people that were voting a lot of times, FISA had something on them, but that's a conversation for another time, all right? Hey, Doc, final question I have. I only have about a minute or two. There was one really good court decision made the other week with the Supreme Court. Could you give us the quick breakdown of this? And I think this was some great news coming out of SCOTUS that a lot of people may not have heard about.
Well, Bill, I have to make sure I don't mispronounce this case.
Uh-huh.
It's Sheetz, S-H-E-E-T-Z, versus the city of El Dorado. It had to do with a California city that charged for a simple building permit, a $23,000 building permit, based on their assessment of the impact versus traffic. Which was certainly $1,000. So the lawsuit was brought in by nonprofit legal entities helping Mr. Sheetz. And the lower courts basically said, that's fine, which is what you'd expect in California.
But Supreme Court more or less said that you're not allowed to just extort developers then to pay for other projects.
No. 9-0. But here's the catch, my friend. They said, that this was an exorbitant impact fee. So what do? They send it back to the lower courts to make a decision on, you do the trade-off factually as to how exorbitant this was and what would be, in your estimate, the procedure for a fair impact fee. It's continuing on.
Oh, so they didn't really zap it then? It was only a partial zap?
It was a great place where all justices could come in and make a unanimous opinion, which is what our Chief Justice is always trying to help for.
Well, there's a lot of extortion that goes on. I remember a friend of mine telling me that he practically had to build East McAndrews, in order to do developments. But that was the price. That was the price of the negotiation in other words, your developments held ransom. According to such things.
Yeah,
a lot of that goes
on. And when I was practicing law very quickly, you had to be very careful when you're dealing with city administrators. I don't mean you wouldn't represent your client. You'd be going for the objective.
Okay.
But you had to work it in a very discreet manner. And then what you would have to do is go through a county supervisor and also, however they handle it, that wasn't my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. All right. We appreciate the take on it. We'll talk more about that next Monday, okay, Doc? Thank you so much, and always a pleasure having you on, okay? Be well.
Take care.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Dennis Powers. And we're going to break for news, and then right after that, we're going to get together with State Representative Christine Goodwin, who is running for State Senate District 2.